back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number on the line, Professor Bob Harvey, all the way from sunny Charlotte, North Carolina. You know, Professor Harvey, I wanted to talk about now what has been happening in this country with the hate groups that are organized, that have been around this country for a long, long time. People of color have known about it, and not just people of color. You know, the Posse Comitatus and all these other organizations and groups that have organized against people of color. And this has really been kind of covered up for a long, long time in this country, Professor Harvey. But now it's out before the whole world to see. And yet, you know, it doesn't garner the outrage that should be garnered. We can hear the outrage about Black Lives Matter, which is really an organization that includes, you know, probably more whites than blacks. But clearly, when you look at the group of hateful people that are walking around in this country, and yet the FBI and others say it's the most dangerous group, and more fear from them than from almost, you know, people outside of this nation. Why is it that we can't seem to get more traction on this, knowing the threats that these people pose?
Earl, the thing that's so tragic about this, and if you go back and take a look at the history of the Ku Klux Klan, Klan pretty much showed their ugly head at the close of the American Civil War, the most divisive time in American history. And I've always said that what happened on January 6th, the table had already been set in 1865. Well, actually, 1860, when a large portion of white America, because it was basically, and this was white men, because women couldn't vote in 1860, and in some cases, if you weren't a property owner, but for the most part, white men were the ones who engineered and ended up getting the Civil War started, because they were angry at what was going on in the anti-slavery movement, and that was one of the biggest thing, the anti-slavery movement. When Lincoln, wasn't opposed to slavery, he was just opposed to the expansion of slavery, and from that device, it led to the bloodiest war in American history, 620,000 in 4.5 years. So the table was already set. I mean, the Proud Boys tried to go back to 1776 because they were trying to profess the spirit of the American Revolution, that they saw this as not just a coup, but also a revolution. But the seed for them to act the way that they've acted, openly and brazenly, has always been there because that table was set before, during, and after the Civil War, when extremist white groups, mostly located in the South, showed their ugly head to go after the federal government and black folk. And what you call liberals or progressive, what we call the carpetbaggers. And that seed has grown deeper and deeper, instead of declining, has grown deeper and deeper. And it really, you know, picked up steam after the early 1960s with the passage of the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act of 1964, Voting Rights 1965. And then, of course, all the things that Johnson was able to do up through 1968. And that white backlash started growing. You saw it in the election with Nixon. If Nader and some others don't run in 68, you know, and then of course again, you know, in other periods in American history, the Democrats win the elections. Humphrey beats Nixon in 68, but it was not Nader, but George Wallace. Well, if you remember, Wallace was a thorn in their side. Now, who did Wallace represent? About 5 to 6 million voters who were from the old South. And if you remember, the South used to be all Democratic. It was a monopoly on that. So the South has always had that capacity to have a political party. That's a one-party system for them. The Democrats ruled. But that all changed during the Reconstruction period at the close of the Civil War, when you had Republicans empowering black folk. And that's where the 14th and 15th Amendments came. And that's where the Civil Rights Act of 1866, and then another one in 1875, that's where they came from. They came from Republicans in the rest of the country, putting black people, empowering black people in the South. And they were getting elected to Congress and the whole bit. So, you know, this seed of seething hatred and this backlash has always been there. In 1924, you saw an emergence of a new Klan. And this Klan was much more widespread and pervasive because it not only went after the federal government and blacks, but it also went after immigrants. It also went after, you know, Catholics. You know, so the history of this seed, Earl, has always been there. It's always been there. And beginning with 1968, with the election of Richard Nixon over Hubert Humphrey, and intensifying and picking up steam in 1980 when Reagan comes in, what you've seen is this snowballing effect growing larger and larger. And though there were many Republicans like Liz Cheney and some of the others who are stout, hardcore Republicans, what they've seen is their party just simply obliterate and become the home of right-wing ideology. And all of us keep hoping that they will wake up and smell the coffee and put a stop to this. We need more Liz Cheney's. We just do. Now, I've never, you know, cared for her political ideology because she was truly a thorn in the side of Obama. And she went after anything that she could see that was non-traditional, you know, Republican, she and her father both. But the one thing that she stands for, like her father, is truly being a patriot, believer to protect this country. When you hear the conservatives, right-wing conservatives preaching this idea of being patriots, that's what the Proud Boys and others had in that document, that 1776 document, that they were patriots. They're not damn patriots. They're traitors. They're the same mindset that engineered the attempt to overthrow an election in 1860. Earl, if people go back and take a look at the election of Lincoln in 1860, that's what happened. But they, in turn, in the South, picked up guns. They picked up guns when they fired on Fort Sumter and the whole bit. They decided they were going to secede from the Union. And if that were to happen today, it would be successful, Earl, because you've got the majority of the states now have been taken over by the conservative movement.
So, Professor Harvey, so how do you possibly, with things being gerrymandered the way they are now, you know, it's almost impossible to move conservatives from controlling these states. And it may not happen again in your and my lifetime, but you really get to a point where you say, the future does not look bright at all because these people are going to be in leadership for, you know, the next decade or so. I got to go to a break. Hold the thought. 844-967-2789. Your text, you can also text us at the same number. Professor Harvey's on the line. We'll be right back.